gentlemen, to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. So glad that you're joining us. So glad to be a part of your lives. Thank you for allowing us into your lives, into your homes, into your cars. We really, thanks for allowing us to be such a big part of your lives. And thank you so much for your support, your prayers. It's really a huge family, I believe. And, you know, we're all in this together. We've got a great guest coming up. Before we get to Gregory Mannarino, I just want to mention that, you know, I used to be very intimidated when I tried to pick out a good wine. Our family loves to have Sunday dinners, or loves to have dinners together, special occasions, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We love that bonding time. And during that time, we also will have a glass of wine with dinner. If you like good wine but can't even spell sommelier, like I can't pronounce it, it's time to take the stress out of wine shopping and try Wink. It's the new way to get all of the best wines perfectly matched to your palate. Wink is spelled W-I-N-C. It works directly with winemakers and growers from all over the world to create delicious wine and deliver it right to your door. This is just the best wine club I've ever seen. Wink's 100% satisfaction guarantee means that if you don't like a bottle of wine they send to you, they're going to replace it with a bottle you'll love, no questions asked. And the reason they can do this, or the reason they offer to do this, is because they've got a very special way they choose wine for you. You log on to the website. You answer 6 questions so they get a sense of your likes and dislikes. They'll give you recommendations that perfectly fit your taste. All you have to do is just sit back and relax while they quickly deliver the wine straight to your door. They're different from other wine clubs because there's zero commitment. You can join for free. You can skip any month, cancel any time. Every month, you'll receive a very unique, very delicious wine delivered right to your door, no hassle. They've got the 100% satisfaction guarantee. Never pay for a bottle you don't like. You can try them out risk-free. And they always have complimentary shipping. The Hagmann family, we just don't get sent random bottles. Wink is a personalized wine membership that recommends wine specifically for the Hagmann family based on results of our palate profile quiz. And you know what, folks? I rate all of the wine I receive from Wink so they learn about me, about my family, with every order, and constantly upgrade, update, personalize the wine that they send. You can sign up for Wink right now and gain immediate insider access to the best fine wine from all over the world. Find out for yourself why me, yours truly, why the Hagmann household and thousands of other satisfied wine lovers are raving about Wink. Here's the best part, folks. Wink is offering to you, the listeners of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report, $20 off right now when you go to try, that's T-R-Y, Wink, WINC.com/Hagmann. Folks, they'll even cover the shipping. Think about that. You'll get fine wine personalized to your palate, delivered right to your door. Try Wink and get $20 off plus complimentary shipping right now when you go to trywink.com/Hagmann. That's trywinc.com/Hagmann. Oh, I love this. I really do. Again, trywinc.com/Hagmann for $20 off right now, special to Hagmann and Hagmann Report listeners. Joe, I'm going to kick it back to you.
All right. We have, I want to thank John Robertson for setting this next guest up. Our guest now is Gregory Mannarino, an independent trader and financial analyst. His website is traderschoice.net. He also maintains YouTube channels that are active on a regular basis for daily general commentary, market report, focusing on the details of technical trading and information and informing traders about how to approach options. Greg has recently released his technical trading playbook called the Evolution System, as well as a guide to day trading. Both sets of materials are available for download on Lulu, Gregory Mannarino Lulu, and are self-published. Greg's a prolific video producer in his own right. He's a regular guest on USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter and has appeared on a plethora of truth-directed media outlets. InfoWars, Pete Santilli, yep. Future Money, trends, Caravan to Midnight, SGT report, Zero Hedge, and X22 report,
he's
among many
everywhere.
Others. Yeah. Greg's material has been published across mainstream financial outlets all over the place. Greg, it's great to have you on the show.
It is great to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I appreciate it.
Well, Greg, we have a listener. Her name is Karen Rogers. I don't think she'd mind me using her entire name, that just communicated with us saying, please tell Greg I said hi. She prayed for your father when he was in a coma in the hospital. And I think you know her, so passing along her warm wishes to you, sir.
That is so nice. Thank you. The prayers worked. It's unbelievable. My dad recovered. It's miraculous.
Well, that's just fantastic and great to hear. Well, it's we are.
I don't know if you can hear this, folks.
Excuse us. We're having some kind of audio issue. I think Eric just said it's his fault.
No,
oh, no,
it's on
his
RN.
End.
It's on our end.
Yeah, we can hear. We can hear Greg.
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
And, yeah, Greg, you can hear us, obviously.
Is I can hear you fine. Perfectly, yes.
Okay.
Eric, is this a YouTube BTO?
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, let's just keep rolling and...
Oh, we're going to pretend like there's nothing wrong while Eric's over there, you know, taking apart the board. Okay, we're having a problem with YouTube and BTR Global.
And we'll re-upload the audio to those outlets after the show's over. We're still streaming live on Global Star Radio Network, and the audio issue should be fixed shortly. I will jump on YouTube and let folks know to jump over to Global Star. Don't want to take any more time away from our guest, Gregory. Where do you want to start today? We have a lot going on in the financial world. I was reading the latest reports about, you know, the stresses of the Deutsche Bank and the debt issues in China and Germany. Also here in the U.S., I was reading about another housing market bubble. We are looking at the possibility of the war with Russia, and we are in the, you know.
Are you there? I lost you.
There we go.
I don't know.
Okay.
There you are.
I can hear you.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't even know where to begin here. I think that unfortunately, people are being led down deliberately, and I mean that, down a path where they can't even imagine how this is going to turn into a horror show, and I mean that, of truly epic proportions. I mean, let's just look at the markets real quick. I mean, this is what I do. We have a situation here that we've never been in the history of the world. We have world central banks that have literally flipped the financial system upside down. That means in certain parts of the world, they have negative interest rates. Here in the United States, we have an interest rate suppression cycle unlike anything we've ever seen, almost a decade. And what this has done has, just like you had alluded to, reinflated a housing bubble worse than the 2008, reinflated a stock market bubble way worse than 2008, all on the back of a debt bubble, which is engulfing the world. It's engulfing the world, and I put it into these terms. When this bubble bursts, it's going to swallow the earth. It's of such a magnitude. Again, the debt-based economic model, which is what we have, all the world's developed nations have a debt-based economic model. That means that the cash that's in your pocket, first of all, doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to the issuing central bank, and it's owed back to them, plus interest that they print out of thin air. Okay. So the system is at a point here where, again, world central banks have gotten so desperate to keep it propped up, they've had to flip it upside down. The system is not meant to function in a negative rate environment or a suppressed interest rate environment like we have now. When When a world central bank gets so desperate that they have to resort to a quantitative easing model, that is printing cash out of thin air, adding digits to a screen, starting to buy assets across the board, they've been buying debt for years. In Europe, they're buying corporate debt as well. Here in the United States, I can't prove this, but I do believe that the Federal Reserve is using dark pools, which is private exchanges, to buy the stock market to keep it propped up. We have companies themselves that are buying back shares of their own stock, again, to try to keep the market propped up. And again, this is getting a lot of people involved in this market. On the long end, that means that they make money if the market continues higher. Let's say an investment plan, a 401k plan, and it all looks great on paper, just like it did at the last top of the market in 2008, and then it rolled over and people got wiped out. Well, the Fed has managed again to reinflate these bubbles, doing no one any favors, because when it melts down, and it's going to, it's going to take everyone, first of all, it's going to eliminate the middle class. The middle class will no longer exist. We'll be back into a feudal system. We will have the haves and the have-nots. People are going to be left destitute, and the central banks in the current form of this debt-based economic model will have no way to fix it, not like last time. What are they going to do? Print more cash out of thin air? Buy more debt? No. They have to come up with a new system, and the government is going to come forward and say, hey, look, we have a solution to your problem. They're doing this on purpose. They cannot be this stupid. Because when you have, again, I know I'm running off at the mouth here, but when you have an environment like this, where world central banks again have suppressed interest rates, gone negative, it creates bubbles. It creates bubbles to the upside, and it creates inverse bubbles as well. Nothing is real. There's no price discovery mechanism behind any asset whatsoever. Nothing. So all of this is going to correct to fair value at one point. And when that happens, it's going to feel like an economic meltdown of truly epic proportions. But all it will actually be is the market attaining fair value. That is the only job of the markets, all of them.
Yeah, and we see, you know, how this this creation of debt, what the central banks have done to the globe, you know, in America since 1913, with the inception of the Federal Reserve, to the globe, as you mentioned in the opening there, using debt instruments as money, and, you know, to the toxic derivatives, to the unpayable amount of debt that we have, to the point where they're creating money out of thin air. This can only end one way. In your experience, do you think that this was all set up to usher in a one world currency, that this was manipulated to go so badly that they would have a solution ready that could not be manipulated the way that they manipulate this, that everybody must be a part of?
It's interesting because, again, either they are just completely inept, or there's a plan under it all. And I don't believe that. I think that there is a plan here, because the Federal Reserve, the world central banks, are policymakers. They cannot be that stupid to not understand that by doing what they're doing, that is suppressing interest rates and going negative here, that they're creating they're creating an environment where cash is going into places where it should not be going, and coming out of other places where it should be going into, creating again distortions of magnitudes that are just so difficult to get your head around. It even spins my head around four or five times an hour just thinking about it. But there is no doubt in my mind that the current situation is not sustainable. We hear this all the time. The debt is not sustainable. We can't pay it back. We already know the debt is worthless. The debt can never be paid back. And the fact that world central banks have gone negative in certain parts of the world proves to us that the debt is worthless. So what are they doing? They have no choice. Here's the issue. The system that we have, the debt-based economic model, demands that cash be borrowed into existence in greater and greater amounts just to sustain where we are. The proof of that is just right in our faces. It took roughly 240 years to build up the first half of our national debt. We've had to double that in the last 8 years under this president. In order to sustain where we are now, we will have to double the debt again in a shorter period of time. Again, it's not sustainable. So there's no doubt. You're absolutely right. They have a new system. It's probably all ready to be, you know, put into action when this system just completely collapses. And war is part of this. Look, the pawns are being placed all over the place. It's about control. That's all they want to do. They want to control people everywhere they possibly can. They started with this Obamacare thing, control the healthcare. That's the first step here. Control the monetary system that, and be able to replace it with a new system. Create a need for a new system. That's what they're doing already as well. The inner cities are falling apart. Minority unemployment is, you know, off the charts here. They're having to fake the data to try to keep the people in line, to make them try to believe that we're in some type of an economic recovery. And all we've done, all they have done, is bury us in a mountain of debt, which is the greatest threat to humankind. It's when the debt bubble bursts, we are going to face a resource problem because the currency will become worthless or nearly worthless. And then people won't be able to attain basic needs, so that everything will shut down. The credit markets will shut down. Banks will shut down. Businesses will shut down. The ATM machines will shut down. There will be no ability for people to even get cash that they believe that is in their accounts. And that's another thing. Maybe some of you listeners, I don't know how... you know, their knowledge is about the financial system, but the cash that they believe in their, that is in their accounts that they see on the screen, is not even there. It's a fractional reserve system. The bank lends it all out except for 10%. So if you believe you have $10,000 that's yours, you'd be lucky if there's $1,000 you actually have access to. So the system is so corrupted, it is so twisted, that is going to have to be replaced with a new system. And I believe truly that is in the works. It's been finished, and they just have to implement it when this new system collapses, when this old system collapses.
Folks, we're talking with Gregory Manorino. You're listening to this man. He's super intelligent with respect to the financial markets. I just want to point out, too, he also holds a medical degree. We're talking with a gentleman who is extremely knowledgeable in many areas. He's a trader analyst as well. But you came onto my radar when you were talking with Greg Hunter back in July. I think it was end of July, middle of July, about a hemlock moment. I remember that phrase, hemlock moment, coming for financial markets. And and I remember listening to that interview and thinking, I believe it was an interview, and then I think Greg Hunter wrote an article about it. But we are so messed up. And you even connected, I think at that point, and correct me if I'm wrong, the WikiLeaks a series of email dumps that showed that the actual primary, if I recall, was rigged. I'm trying to remember exactly what you said, but that really put everything on the radar, folks. A hemlock moment coming for financial markets was the title for that. But I just wanted to mention too that medical degree and all of this. So we're in a boatload of a hurt right now. Unprecedented, uncharted waters, right?
Absolutely. Like you were just saying, everything is rigged. Everything is not real. The economic environment we are in is being faked. The markets are not priced anywhere near where they should be. There again is no price discovery, and I mean none, behind any asset people want to look at. If people think, oh, I got a good deal in my house, I'm sorry to tell you this, we're in a bubble. We're in a housing bubble right now, despite what the mainstream might be trying to feed you. Undervalued assets, for example, precious metals, massively undervalued based upon the debt and based upon how bull markets perform. When you have a deliberately induced Federal Reserve fostered runaway stock market, you get assets that become incredibly suppressed. And not only suppressed, but manipulated. You had mentioned Deutsche Bank. You know, for years, people like me were saying that they were manipulating the price of gold and silver. We were considered conspiracy theorists because we said that. Well, we just found out that Deutsche Bank admitted that they're rigging the metals markets. In fact, they had to pay a fine. It's a pathetically low fine, a $38 million fine for rigging the markets. But how are the investors being made whole? They're not. My point is that every single thing is being rigged or manipulated in one way or the other. And they've deliberately, believe me, I know this, it has to be true, although either they did it on purpose or they just are so stupid to allow these bubbles to manifest themselves like this, because we've been here before, but never to this degree. Whenever the assets become so twisted and distorted away from the normal economic growth, you get a correction. Again, the market's only job is to determine fair value, period. So, again, they're fostering a wealth transfer. It is that simple. I don't know another way to put it. People that are all gung-ho looking at their 401k plans right now, looking at their investment plans, the Federal Reserve is doing them no favors. They're doing it on purpose. They're going to blow this bubble in the market. And when the market bubble blows and all of this cash starts leaving it, it's simply going to be transferred to some other people, another group of people. In fact, I'm going to lay it out in line to people like myself who know how to trade the market, who know how it will work. This is what is being set up right now, and I'm trying to warn people about this. The main problem that we're facing now is the debt bubble, and I always refer back to the debt bubble, and people need to watch it. How do you watch the debt bubble? Simply by watching bond yields, okay? The Federal Reserve has suppressed interest rates for many years, causing capital to be misallocated all over the place. Okay, we've inflated the stock market bubble on the back of that debt bubble. But there's going to be a problem here. The world is going to face a moment where they do realize that the debt is no good, that the debt is in a bubble, the debt can never be paid back. So what's going to end up happening at one point here is we're going to have panic selling in the bond market. That means people are going to try to dump the debt that they're holding, and they'll be willing to take any price because we're going to run into what's called a liquidity problem, meaning there's not going to be two sides of this trade. In order for a trade to happen, whether the market to go up or the market to go down, to put it simply, there has to be a buyer and a seller. Well, at one point, when the debt market really starts to sell off, and it will, the debt is worthless. We know this. We keep hearing about it. It's the mainstream that's pushing the narrative now, not just, you know, the alternative media like this and like people like myself. So when people are trying to sell the debt that's yielding, let's say a U.S. 10-year, for example, that was yielding 1.5%, let's say a few months back, and all of a sudden it's yielding a 2 or 2.5, who's going to want to buy the debt that's yielding a 1.5? No one. So these people are sitting there holding the bag. So we're going to run into a liquidity problem. Bond yields are going to spike rapidly. When the bond yields spike rapidly and uncontrollably, that's going to put a massive amount of pressure on the stock market. We're going to get a simultaneous sell-off with the bond market and the stock market. And all of that cash does not go to money heaven. And I want people to understand that. It's simply going to go into other assets. This is why we need to be looking at assets that are suppressed right now. I'm a major proponent of holding hard assets, gold and silver, especially in this deliberately suppressed environment. We have proof of that now. At one point, it will reach a fair value no matter what they do. So what people need to understand is their 401k plans and their investments that only make money if the market goes higher will be taken advantage of by those people who know how to do it. And this is the Wall Street banks. This is traders like myself who will then take up what's called a short position. In other words, bet against the market, and all the cash that is simply leaving the market out of people's 401ks, out of their investment plans, will be moved from those people's accounts to other people's accounts. So this is what the Federal Reserve does over and over and over again. They blow bubbles and they allow them to burst. When they burst, more cash is made faster than when the market goes higher. So it's a criminal enterprise, literally, in a scheme that is being set up on purpose to fleece and destroy the middle class. I have no doubt that in a few years from now, the middle class will no longer exist.
Well, very well said, and there was so much information in there. We're talking with Gregory Mannarino, and Greg, we're coming up against our middle of the hour break. It's about a 3-minute break, but I got a number of questions when we come back. I want to ask you, first of all, about the influx of immigrants that we see being brought over to the United States. One of the mainstream media and the politicians' main talking points is that somehow by bringing in, you know, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of immigrants to the United States, it will create some kind of boost in the economy. And if you can explain, the pros and cons of that argument, that would be fantastic. And also, another question on Social Security. We constantly hear how the Social Security pot is going to go broke, you know, sooner than later. But how can we never hear that, you know, the welfare pot is going to go broke? We're going to get into this and more on the other side. Folks, you're listening to Greg Mannarino. His website is
TradersChoice.net. It's a fantastic website, TradersChoice.net.
All right, we'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, to this second segment with our guest, Gregory Mannarino. His website is traderschoice.net. Check out Market Report on YouTube. He is a distinguished economist, and we are talking about the current events in the world and the financial market. And before the break, I had a question for Greg, and I wanted to make sure we get into this a little bit. We see this constant push of illegal immigrants into the West. Europe has seen millions, an influx of millions, that's put billions and billions of dollars of strain on their economy. We see here in the United States, over 16,000 Syrian refugees were brought in 2016 alone. That's just what is recorded on the books, not including what, you know, comes in undisclosed. And one thing we hear in the news and through the politicians and through the talking heads in the media is that they want to bring in, you know, next year 100+ thousand here into the United States. But we hear about how this will benefit the economy in such a great way. Not only the economy, but it will help with the jobs and the job numbers. Greg, is this true? And how is this possible?
Well, first of all, the job numbers are all fake. We are at Great Depression levels when it comes to the real numbers of unemployment. One in five Americans is receiving public assistance at this present time here. Again, it's just unbelievable to know that more Americans today are receiving something from the government or from the rest of us, because the government has no money, right? They have to redistribute wealth, than during the Great Depression. So yeah, sure. Let's look. I understand the plight of people. I do that, and my heart does go out to them. But this is no way possible can help our economy. Anyone that is would believe that has to be fill in the blank.
Looney Tunes.
Because, more competition for jobs here, for the people who already can't find work, My wife's sister, who has a college degree, has been looking for a job for a year and a half and cannot find work. It's unbelievable. She actually had to move back home with her parents. So, I mean, this is the situation we're in. We are in terminal decline, and there is no way out of it. And what all they're concerned with, again, is trying to keep the market inflated, again, because it's an illusion. If they can keep the stock market inflated, they can make people believe we're in an economic recovery. The true value, the actual value that the market should be, is probably 60, 70, 80% lower than where it is now.
Wow.
If we had a real market. But again, just going back to how any of this can help our economy, it cannot. Look, you need two metrics, and two metrics only, really, to gauge where we are with regard to our supposed economic recovery. The number one thing I told people to look at is the labor force participation rate. How many people are actually in the workforce and are working? Well, we are near historic lows. That's number one. The second one you need to look at is the money velocity. That is the rate at which cash is moving through an economy, our economy. Right now, we are also near historic lows. So, how can we possibly have any kind of an economic recovery if we have a labor force participation rate near historic lows, money velocity near historic lows, more Americans needing public assistance than in history? Doesn't work that way. Again, they are so determined. And the sad thing is, really, that people believe it. People have been deliberately dumbed down. Thank God for shows like yours, where people can listen to these things and understand what's actually going on. Because if they sit here and they watch the mainstream media, they're going to think that, you know, we are in some utopian society where we could not be better off right now, and our economy is booming, and the global economy is doing fabulous. You know, we should all be driving around in a Ferrari. But, you know, that's not the case. And that's why, when this whole thing really gets rolling, it's going to catch people by surprise.
Thank you for being a beacon of truth and spreading the true information, the true numbers out there. So many questions coming in. We've got listeners all over the country, and of course, into Europe and Australia. So many people want to ask you different questions. I've got one here that sure. I need to ask you about. Can mm-hmm. Trump make a difference? Okay, I guess in your view, can Trump's policies make a difference? Citing Michael Moore's reference to the big FU, this election being a big FU vote, citing, of course, Trump's statement that to Ford, saying that, yeah, go ahead and keep your laborers in Mexico, or you know, we're just going to slap a 35% tariff on your vehicles coming into the United States. You're not going to sell any if you leave or whatever. I guess the question here is Trump's policies. Can he fix mm-hmm. what's wrong?
No.
Can he fix it?
Nothing can be fixed. No, nothing can be fixed. Again, these distortions have to balance out. Have to. And I've been putting it this way, are in an environment of extremes. Now, there's probably a way to lessen some of the pain that the population is going to have to suffer through. But the fact remains that the financial system as a whole, and Donald Trump knows this better than anybody else. He's a money guy. He knows. I wish I could talk to him. But, I mean, you know, he knows better than anybody else that the current financial system is not sustainable. And we have bubbles. He talks about bubbles all the time, too. So how do you fix a bubble? You can't fix them. The bubble has to burst. It has to correct somehow. Now, again, there may be a way to lessen this pain, but people are not going to be willing to do what it takes. That means they'll have to take massive losses on investments across the board, meaning their homes, meaning their the debt that the country owes. No one's going to want to take – and the debt that people we all owe is linked to pension plans. So no one is going to want to take those losses. Nobody. So collectively, there's not enough power to do it. We have to understand the root core of this whole thing. The debt-based economic model has created an alternative universe. In other words, if you were to look at a chart of the debt and put up a chart of the global debt and a chart of the global population, you will see that they have risen in tandem. Pay attention. Really, I hope you'll pay attention to what I'm about to say. So we have a debt bubble, which has been growing for decades, okay, which it gone up like a hockey stick, the global debt. The population in the world has also grown up like a hockey stick. What is going to happen when the debt bubble bursts, when we can no longer borrow from the future just to sustain the now? What do you think? What do people believe is going to happen to the population? It is going to fall dramatically and rapidly. So if you want to put this into biblical terms, we are going to face a biblical moment where the debt bubble bursts and we are going to see millions, tens of millions, maybe more than that, of people die because they will not be able to get the basic resources they would need to sustain themselves. We've seen this before, but never on a worldwide scale. So there lies the issue. The debt bubble has created an alternative universe, has allowed a population boom to manifest itself, which would have never happened if we were not allowed the, I don't even know what you want to call it, privilege, whatever it might be, to borrow from the future to sustain where we are and build up wherever we are now. We would not have the world population we have. We would have a normal environment. Unfortunately, where we're stuck in a world that has been, again, manipulated, twisted, and distorted. They've created this environment on purpose to create more consumers, inflating the debt to try to feed the corporations that run the world. The whole world is obviously not run by presidents, kings, queens, or monarchs. It's run by the corporations. It's run by the banks. So you can see where we're going. None of this can be fixed without a...
correction.
It just can't be fixed.
Okay, so, because our time is limited, I'll ask this. A normal family, a guy with a wife, two mortgages, a house, you know, maybe upside down on a car, or maybe 10 grand plus in revolving debt, working day to day just to pay the bills. What do we do? What do we do? Or maybe a step above that, someone who's comfortable, who has $10,000-$15,000 in the bank in a savings account, without debt, where do you put your money or cash? Or I mean, what do we do?
Well, let me say this, and I've been literally screaming from rooftops about what I'm about to say for years. If you are a member of the middle class, you are in a lot of trouble. The odds are so stacked against you that I can't possibly put that into words. What we need to do from a financial standpoint is understand where the opportunities are. If people are in debt, like you were just saying, they got to get themselves out of debt somehow. What people don't know is their debt can be negotiated. Banks do it all the time. Institutions do this all the time. If you owe $10,000 on a credit card, you can negotiate that. Will it hit your credit? Absolutely it will. But you can negotiate that debt. So what I would suggest is people, if you're in a lot of debt, negotiate it lower with your, you know, start talking to the companies won't give this up easily. But you can negotiate your debt lower. You can try to get yourself, if you have secured debt, for example, like a house or something, you're done there. But if you have unsecured debt, for example, like a credit card or an unsecured loan, you can negotiate that. With regard to the monetary system that we're in, we know it's not sustainable. So you got to take the opposite side of that trade. How you take the opposite side of that trade is by holding a hard asset. And they've been doing everything they can to keep the prices of gold and silver suppressed. Gold and silver are money. They've been money for thousands and thousands of years. Just because someone like Ben Bernanke says that gold is not money, and states that world central banks hold gold just because it's tradition doesn't mean it's true. World central banks are keenly aware that these prices are suppressed and are keenly aware that gold and silver are universal money. There's no exchange rate, okay? So you need to understand where the opportunities are. And in my opinion, and this is my opinion, the most undue, if you're looking for the single most undervalued asset on the planet, it is physical silver. There's no asset on earth that is more suppressed and more undervalued at this particular time. Debt is in the biggest bubble. So if you want to look at both ends of the spectrum, you have debt, the bond market, debt, all that is on one side of the spectrum, and then you got silver on the extreme opposite side. Gold is right there too, other commodities as well. But again, middle class people are in a lot of trouble. And
let me ask this. I know because of time factors, but so many questions here. Contemporaneous with your statement about silver. We have the majority. Well, our audience is we speak to a Christian audience. Their biblical concerns about silver. Will silver or will precious metals have a use in the transition in what's coming? In other words, can the Christian, the average Christian out there with silver or with a silver or gold hedge, are we going to be able to sustain ourselves, our families, perhaps, with precious metals during this time of turmoil?
It depends how bad this gets. I mean, we're going to have to, in a worst case scenario, and you always have to look at things from a worst case scenario, if we end up in a full-on total meltdown of the system, which I think they're designing into it, we may resort to a barter system. I mean, you got to get in tight with your community. You got to find people that you can trust, that you can lean on in times of turmoil and tribulation. Absolutely. But I'm just talking about things from the financial standpoint, that this is the only way that you can protect whatever wealth you might have. And will it get you through? Who knows? I have no idea. I think you need a getaway plan. I think you're going to need a whole lot of faith in God, no doubt about it. You're going to need a way to defend yourself, unfortunately, to get through it. I think there's going to be rioting. There has the potential to be rioting in every street in the United States. I don't care where you live. This is why the police have been militarized in every state in the union. Military tactics, military weapons, military trainings. I was an officer in the Navy. I was a lieutenant in the United States Navy. So I have a little bit of insight into this. This is what's being set up about control. They know the system will fail. And when they do, they're going to have to call out, the National Guard, the military here, to try to keep order. Because the system is toxic. The system cannot continue like this. It can go on for a while. There's no doubt about it. We're not going to see a collapse tomorrow. Although, if you ask me, I think we might have seen the top of this market back in August. The stock market topped out in August. It's been steadily declining since that time. So what's going to drive it back higher? I don't know. I don't think it's going to be earnings. The Federal Reserve's running out of bullets. The companies have already bought back massive shares of their own stock. What's going to keep this market going higher? I don't know. Maybe they'll come up with some new scheme. But to answer your question, will gold and silver, is that going to be the end all? Absolutely not. You're going to need lots of other things as well. And there are lots of YouTube channels that are dedicated to surviving a worst case scenario kind of thing. You got to be prepared. There's no doubt about it. You need to have water. You need to have food. You need to have a shelter. Again, a way to defend yourself, and a whole lot of faith, no doubt about it.
Fantastic. And folks, we're talking to Gregory Mannarino. His website, traderschoice.net. That's traderschoice.net. I've been following his information. His website, his videos now, ever since I became aware of him. And I suggest you all do the same, as responsible Christians, as responsible Americans or members of the West, people of the citizens of the West, whether you're listening to this in the UK or Australia right now or Canada, United States, take his information. Take heed of what he's saying.
Absolutely. And with the 9 minutes we have left of the interview, got a few more questions for you, Greg. And you summed it up nicely about, you know, the state of the economy and the inevitable outcome of what's going to happen. But we know in the interim, as you said, that there could be many distractions that happen that can delay or prolong the current economic situation, war being one of them. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was about energy prices. Do you see the... We know that the U.S. dollar is the petrodollar tied to the oil in Saudi Arabia and in the Middle East. Do you... are there any indicators that we're going to see any large increases in energy prices and oil prices in the near future?
Oil is a hard asset. So at one particular time... again, this is going to be one of those things. In the near future, in the very near future, I think we're going to see some pressure here on oil, probably on the energy sector as a whole. You can capitalize on that if you look at the trade these markets, no doubt about it. That's what I'll be doing. Longer term, again, it all comes down to, yes, these things are priced in dollars. And there's no doubt that there are other countries around the world, China being one of them, Russia being another one, that more than would love to have the world reserve currency. There's a lot of benefits that come with having the world reserve currency. It creates an ever increasing demand for the central bank's product, which is printed bills. But I think there's a very good chance that the United States will lose that ability, will lose the reserve currency down the line. It's happened before. We've seen this. And unfortunately, the situation is so dire. The debt is so massive here in the United States. Just for example, we are the biggest. What most people don't know is the United States. Well, you hear someone like President Obama trying to tell us that we're the richest country in the world. No. We are the most indebted nation the world has ever seen. We are absolutely broke and destitute. Period. Our nation is bankrupt. So when you hear a politician say something like that, when you hear Obama say something like that, you have to understand he is lying to you directly. We are not the richest nation on earth. It's very sad to have to say that. But we have to continue to borrow to sustain where we are. And energy in the future will be a commodity most people will not be able to afford.
Very interesting. War. We hear this this constant hype of World War III breaking out between the U.S. and Russia, or the U.S. and China, and we see the different reasons. One of them being, you know, the Arab Spring and the conflicts that we've started in Syria. But I want to ask you: could all this, the reasons for the upcoming conflict or potential war, is it more monetary than what we're seeing in the news, which is, you know, the proxy wars over territory and, you know, these humanitarian crises? Is there a monetary underlining here that we're not hearing about?
Of course there is. Who finances the wars? The banks do. So is it? Of course it is. I mean, you know, who wins during wars? The banks win. The banks lend the money. They finance both sides too. We've seen this throughout history. But look, the sad thing is that people are being set up here, to fight in this war. The millennials, the next generation under them, unfortunately, who are looking for some type of, you know, free education and free this. And the only thing that's going to be free is the flow of their blood and guts on some foreign soil as they're fighting wars. Because that's where we're going here. There is no doubt about it. And who will win? The banks will win again. The institutions will win again. The politicians will win again. That's why they want bigger government. That's why Hillary wants the government to grow larger. They want a government that will control the people, not a government of the people and for the people and by the people, but a people that are becoming enslaved to their government. And unfortunately, people have gotten so, they've turned into some kind of sheep-like animal that will just follow along like and be puppetized. But there are some, I'm more than certain, who are listening to the show who will not allow that to happen, who understand where this is all going here, and will not allow themselves to be controlled. But you got to be prepared. We have to be prepared for what's coming here. And it seems like a meltdown of the financial system is coming. Wars are coming. And we just need to be ready for it. And you can't wait. You have to be ready for it now. Not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, next day, next year. But you got to be ready. You always have to have the high ground and be ready for a crisis when it hits.
Gotcha. Now, Greg, you've got a newsletter or a news channel, Market Report, correct?
Yes. I do a business day market report. I talk about a lot of these kinds of things. I also talk about the markets, how people can make them work for them pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Because I truly believe that you are one of the most, well, an honest source of information, very effective, very relevant. And people today are struggling. We're all struggling with the headlines, with the news. The majority of people don't understand our audience understands the monetary system pretty well, but I'm not sure the majority of any audience understands the levels that we're at. I mean, because we can still go to Starbucks and buy a cup of coffee for, what, $5 or whatever, however much it is.
Yeah.
You know, and there's still food on the grocery store shelves, fresh produce and such. So the appearances are deceiving, aren't they?
Yes, they are, because we still can borrow. We can still borrow from the future. Every single minute of every single day, our debt grows. It gets larger because we're borrowing from the future to sustain the now. It is not sustainable. Again, what do people think? We're at $20 trillion in debt right now. What do they think? We can sustain a $40 trillion, $60 trillion, $100 trillion? We have to pay interest on this debt. It's all linked to it. All of the people's retirement plans, and it's all linked to the debt. It's all going to be gone at one particular point. It's a very sad situation, I have to say, honestly. And I really don't know a way out of it other than this thing just correcting to fair value, which the market always does.
Well, one thing that you say and you advocate for is to become your own central bank. And I really like that phrase. We got 1 minute left, and I just want to say, you know, people need to do what they can to learn as many trades as possible. Everybody should be growing their own food and become independent from this system, whether it's the monetary system, the commercialized system. That's the way we can beat these people, is to come together and not be in need of what they are offering. Greg, I want to thank you for your time tonight. It's been a quick hour and a fantastic interview. We hope that you can come back sometime in the near future.
I'd love that. Let's definitely do that.
All right, brother.
Any predictions on the election?
Yeah.
I think it's all going to be rigged, unfortunately. I would love to see Trump win, I'll be honest with you. Although, like I said, I don't think anything can actually be fixed. But Hillary is part of the establishment, government control, control of the people. And I don't think anyone listening to this show wants that.
Indeed. Wow. Gregory Manarino, TradersChoice.net. Brother, thank you so very much for your gift of time tonight. Everyone needs to check out TradersChoice.net. Follow Gregory Manarino. Thank you, my friend. We'll be talking
soon. Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Folks, next hour, Stan Dale, standale.com. Wow. What an incredibly informative hour with Gregory Manarino.
Absolutely. Stay with us for our last hour. Go to standale.com, click on the show images page on the right-hand side of the page, and follow along with Stan's latest investigative and research findings. Be right back.